Nothing changes. I think in much of our readings from Deuteronomy and Corinthians, we see that the nature of human beings hasn't changed, doesn't change, and for many people won't change. We love to be in control. When we're not, we feel a bit lost or disorientated. The things that stop that being the case, well, we don't like those. We don't like those people or those things that don't allow us to have control. And sometimes it really does feel pretty awful. A comedy moment, several months ago, one of the members of staff in Aldershot bought themselves a new Porsche 911. The stuff of dreams. I've always wanted one. I've had them on my walls when I was a kid. And every so often when you sort of drive past an expensive looking showroom, you can still dream a little. Anyway, this individual bought himself one, and lo and behold, there it is outside the headquarters. I didn't pluck up the courage to ask him, so after a few weeks, knowing that I like cars, he invited me to have a drive with him. Wonderful. No. He was in the driving seat. He drove very quickly. I'd like to say, for the record, he didn't break any speed limits, but I'm not sure. By the time we got to Rawgarson Church, he was laughing, and I wasn't. I rolled out of the passenger seat, which is quite easy because you're very low to the ground, and I was curled up in a fetal position. Asked him, "Have you ever done that with your wife?" "No, she'll never drive. She'll never be a passenger when I'm driving." I said, "Funny that, because you are a terrible, terrible driver, and I feel very, very sick." Now, of course, the problem is, you're stuck at the Royal Garrison Church, and you've got to get back to your office, which is down there. Promise me you will not speed on the way back, because I don't fancy walking and spending the next 45 minutes getting back to the office. I promise. What does he do? He does it again. He was in control. And I felt terrible. Now, that's just a light-hearted thing, but think about all of those times and situations where not being in control has hurt you or someone else. Where you would have maybe done something better or more lasting on this earth if you were in control, but you weren't. And unfortunately, life as we know it is such that sometimes we are able to do the things that we need to do, like to do. And there are other times whenever we are completely at the whim of someone or something else, whether we like it or not. In the Old Testament, so many people wanted to be prophets because it had power associated with it. And everyone loves power. But the problem was that after a while, the truth and the simplicity and the direction that was clear that came from God was diluted. And nobody knew who to believe. We talk about media and social media and the ways that we don't know our left from our right. Fake news. The things that mislead so many people, that have them believe one thing, pursuing one path, when actually it's far from the truth. We desperately need to know what is right from what is wrong, as individuals and in the worlds that we have influence over. Because sometimes that is the only way, the only voice that God has in that situation. If we choose not to speak, if we choose not to act, then we lose an opportunity for God. And after a while, because we know what happens when we do that, we find ourselves in that place of shame because we've disobeyed. I was looking recently at Micah chapter 6, which we all know. I thought it was a reading this morning. I am very sorry. If you can't remember Micah 6, please, when you go home, have a look at those first 8 verses of Micah 6. It's the words that run in parallel pretty much with the Beatitudes, a simplified version. The things that are important to God, the things that he requires, people talk about them as marching orders, and I find that quite funny. Back in 2010, Micah 6 was preached on by the then Bishop of St. Asaph to a group of Royal Welshmen and myself. And we were sat there before deployment to Afghanistan. And again, for a group of soldiers who've done all the training, who are knowledgeable and confident in their skills and trades, this was that question over doing the right thing and getting it right. Because some of these things can't be taught in a classroom or on a field with someone in uniform. Micah's voice was heard in Judah in the 8th century, a bit like those other prophets that we've been listening to over the last number of weeks. He wasn't a tiny, he was a villager. So his perspective is different. And actually, he's in a more suitable place to criticize the things that were happening in a refined society. He scorns the way that people who hold office are able to do whatever they want because they are in control. That they can oppress the weak because they're strong. That they can deal with the small man and the small voice whichever way they want. He talks about a court scenario. God and the people are there to argue their respective cases before the immovable foundations of the earth. And people start to speak about the things that are important to them. It finishes then with the basic starting point as a challenge. What does the Lord your God require of you? He finishes with those words that we remember about walking humbly with your God. There are a couple of words in there that maybe help us to think about how we walk humbly with God. How we maybe shed a little bit of that control and actually trust God to run the rudder and the helm. Require. What does the Lord require of you? The literal word of the Hebrew sounds like the word seek rather than require. Seek. God, in Micah 6:8, says he seeks from us the interpretation of what we are being called to do for him. Rather than requiring you to do something, find your path. Discern your way. Figure out with what you know of God how you should then carry yourself into the future. The second word is kindness. The Hebrew word chesed. It's translated as something which is an unbreakable connection. So if you think of those times in Scripture when God is speaking of a continual relationship with his people, that connection which is unbreakable, no matter what. So we must love, rather than kindness, we must love that unbreakable connection if we are to persist in living alongside God. The third word's humble. It's a strange one for me because I think of a church tradition where people being meek are often trampled over, where trying to be simple and complicated and kind to others assume that that's the opportunity for them to take control. In the 3rd century Greek translation, Humble isn't read in this way. It's more like being ready and being willing. So it's a little bit more like walk willingly with your God. Or certainly, or carefully. Walk carefully with your God. I've had something on the wall in the last 8 or 10 months at home. And it's part of the poem, The Gate of the Year. Not a shake your head if you know of this thing. Yes, no? Yes, right. Some of you. Very, very quickly. Gate of the Year, a poem written in 1908 by Minnie Louise Haskins. It was originally called God Knows. King George VI quoted it in 1939 in his Christmas broadcast. And it became something that was familiar, not just to the King, but to Queen Elizabeth as well. At her 90th birthday, she said that it was herself, the young princess who had given the words to the King. They find engraved on the gates the words to the King George VI Memorial Chapel at Windsor Castle, where the King is interred. And the words of the Gate of the Year were included in Queen Elizabeth's funeral. I love this. And I said to the man who stood at the Gate of the Year, give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. Far too often we're people who want a light so that we can tread safely. We know what we want. We know what tool it is that we need. And we say to God, this is what we want. But actually what he maybe wants from us is something slightly different. Rather than something where we can see ourselves from A to B, he's asking us to give the hand and let him take the lead. I hope that in this year we're able, in our own ways and around us, to see that the results of putting our hand into God's hand gives us infinitely more than us trying to be the ones who keep and take control.